You're listening to episode 75 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Computers, computers everywhere. Interesting.
Let's talk about, speaking of perfection, Firefox.
Okay. Yeah, because this had to do with the perfection. You think they're...
I don't know. Okay. I was just making the transition.
I appreciate that.
Speaking of animals...
Yeah, exactly. Arston and wildlife. So Firefox made a big announcement at the Mobile World Conference in Barcelona.
Congress. It's okay. Congress, okay.
All right, gotcha.
They spent a lot of time naming it, okay.
Yeah. The Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, Spain.
Which I did not go to, in case you were wondering.
Much to your chagrin. Okay, Firefox.
It's all right. Yeah, you'll figure out some other way to make it up for me.
Yeah, sure.
No, they won't. mean,
they don't feel bad. Mozilla, the developers for Firefox... The Firefox browser made a big announcement. They are getting into the OS game in a small way. And by small way, I mean mobile. And I also mean this isn't that significant.
It happens to mean the other one you thought it was. I like Sunday afternoons.
Yeah. So Firefox is they're developing an operating system. Pretty cool. Pretty big news. They basically said we're building a operating system for phones, for mobile devices, tablets, and telephones.
In
short, mobile.
Looks like they picked the right Congress to present it to him.
Exactly. And basically this thing is, it's like they're really big about like HTML. Like you'll be able to build everything in HTML and do all sorts of HTML stuff with it.
Sounds like another operating system that recently got sold to a TV maker.
Yeah. Huh. Or like another operating system that just had a $1,300 laptop announced. Basically this is just like WebOS and Chrome. It's like WebOS and its interface, I guess, where it's sort of like, it's not like you're just sitting in a browser, but it's also kind of like Chrome in that it's like just a browser. Like it's okay. It's cool. Now, one of the cool things about this is that, you know, Mozilla is truly open source. They are like, you know, they are what Google claims that they are, like what Google pretends to be, in that, you know, you can, you know, without hesitation, you can go in, change code, build stuff, be part of the new build. All Mozilla really does is kind of measure or manage rev changes and really like manage the downloading and stuff like that. Like they kind of facilitate.
They're more like a nonprofit, I suppose.
Yeah. That's the best way to describe it. And they've got a whole suite of applications that they use. They're just, their most famous one is the Firefox operating system, but for those of you who use FileZilla, that's a great FTP client, or Thunderbird if you're into calendars and email. My boss loves Thunderbird. It's like his
really
ever. Yeah,
I downloaded it and I was kind of like, well, this is just like Outlook. Why?
Okay. Yeah, it works fine. It's just like Outlook, but if you don't use Outlook, it's, you know.
Yeah. All
it's
right.
You know, it's good. I mean, I don't have any problems with it. It's good enough.
I don't want good enough.
I know. But
it's not what I do. But my calendar is very important to me.
Yeah, I realize that. And mine's,
that's why we spent 20 minutes talking on it last week.
Right. So they build all sorts of different stuff. So they're building an operating system. And one of the big selling points on this thing is that it's supposed to be for a very light operating system. Cool. In that it'll be able to run on a lot of different hardware, inexpensive hardware. You won't have to share anything with Google. It's actually already been introduced. No, that's not true. What was I about to say? There's a different one. But, I don't know, it sounds cool. It sounds cool. I'm glad Mozilla's getting in there, and I'm not convinced that
So I want to know why.
Why they're doing it?
What? Yeah. What's their reason for getting in on it? Or do they just like to build cool stuff because that's what they are?
I was going to say, I think it's a two-pronged thing. I think one of it is they think they can, so they want to. They're going to.
Okay.
And it doesn't hurt. It's not like they make any money off of it, so they're just doing it. And I think the other reason is because they've been looking around, and you know, one of the things that we've been talking about for quite some time is the idea of like a truly, truly open source project, an operating system to run on mobile, to run on simple system of a chip computers. And I think that, you know, they still see an opportunity for that outside of the Android and iOS world. And they're looking at it saying, you know, we could be that. We could be the Linux of mobile operating systems. And the reason why I heard a lot of people talking about this, especially Mozilla fans, were really, really trumpeting up how, you know, this is a big deal. Like, they're really, you know, there's still space. The thing is that they did all this really juxtaposed right next to Ubuntu Touch, which not only is the Linux, or do I think it will be the Linux of mobile, but it's literally...
It's
the Linux of mobile, because it's actually Linux, exactly. but to me, Linux or Ubuntu Touch brings something that nobody else does, and this is what's huge. And I think everybody kind of gets the sense that what they're doing is the future of mobile. In that, what you'll have is you'll have one piece of hardware that has a native storage area, but for the most part, it's just internet. It's an internet connected device that can do that, has certain stuff tethered to it. It's got a screen that you can touch and operate on, and then it's got a phone. But the really cool part is you can plug it into a dock, and all of a sudden it'll connect to your keyboard, mouse, and your screen, and it will be a full desktop operating system,
which is like awesome.
Which is just regular Ubuntu running on your phone. And if you were to get some hardware accelerated stuff, you know, built into this little desktop thing so that, you know, you plug it in and now you got a full blown superpower computer. Mm-hmm. Everybody would like, well, it's just crazy. And the thing is that it's like, it's completely open source. The best part is like, you can put a Java app on it if you want. Why not? And they're like, they've already talked about how to like, how you can build stuff that can easily compile Android apps to run on Ubuntu, which, by the way, Tizen, which also got a lot of attention at the World Mobile World Congress. The one article I read, this is, I want you all to realize you heard this on Little Rose first, but their comments were like, everybody's talking about how, like, you know, what are they going to do with all their apps? And it's, they're like, dude, you could totally build a virtual machine that allow you to run Android written apps super easily on Tizen, and that's what they're going to do. And that's what everybody's going to do, which is great. But I don't know, this whole thing is just, it's really interesting looking at all these operating systems kind of go at it. And I think Firefox OS is going to get a little bit of, you know, and it'll get...
Well, and so I was reading here, it says they're actually going to target emerging economies. And then they list Brazil, Colombia, Poland, Venezuela, Serbia. Serbia and Spain, which I don't know about Spain, but... you know, but so their idea is to go, hey, we're going to make this, it's this lightweight thing that, you know, the wholesale price is $100 and, you know, and so they're going to try to, you know, they're going to try to go after that market, which in some ways has been, I don't want to say neglected, but the tech hasn't trickled down to them yet.
Well, and you know, it's just the nature of Moore's Law. You're going to get devices. The thing is by writing a really lightweight operating system like that, it could give you a year head start on everybody else who refuses to build a lighter weight operating system. Thing is, you give it a year, and all of a sudden, all of those $100 phones will be able to run more powerful operating systems like Ubuntu Touch and Android and Tizen, and you know, I don't know. I think they've got a decent strategy. It's a cool concept. I hope they do well, because one of the nice things about Mozilla is they're really big into pushing forward technology. You know, so they're going to come up. You know, when it's like,
are they really?
Well, they were with Firefox. I mean,
well, yeah, but I mean, like, when's the last time you used a Firefox browser?
I use it for development stuff.
Oh, really?
On occasion, yeah. I mean, because they have a lot of add-ons, and they're just their ability to, like, you know, the thing
I
is...
I just feel like that was a true statement, even 5 years ago, and
I guess that love and feeling. I guess what I'm trying to say is, if they were to come into a new market with a new piece of hardware and a new idea, like, let's try to develop the idea of how would you build a phone where everything is built out of HTML, Java, JavaScript, you know, and it uses web technologies. You know, that's something that I realized that, you know, WebOS was, that's what WebOS is supposed to be, but it never really got any development time, and it didn't get the world community behind it to try to make it better. Whereas there's actually, like, there's a legitimate argument there to be made that that's a good way to design operating systems.
Okay.
And I think that's what I'm excited for. I think you'll start to see things that will get incorporated into Android and iOS and Ubuntu that you know will make them a lot of money and Mozilla none. That Mozilla could pioneer.
You're bad.
Yeah. I don't see this as a game changer for the makeup of the different. I don't see this as a game changer. Whereas I actually think Ubuntu, you know, really and truly could make some real good volume in India and China, where they're looking for alternatives to iOS and Android. And just like Tizen, you know, Tizen's biggest competitive advantage is that China doesn't hate the operating system. They like Samsung, and they want, you know, they'll allow Samsung to make it in there. So it's like, you know, the big thing that they were talking about with Tizen, which is Samsung's operating system, says, I don't think I said that yet, is that they're basically like, it could become the number one operating system in the entire world before America ever gets one, because, you know, which is what we were saying last week. Like, you know, once again, you heard it on the Furlough Bros first. you know, that idea that
you gotta say that louder, more prouder, man.
I know. Just
you heard that on the Furlough Bros first.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
The problem that we're running into is that I have a stash, and so it's good. It's making me more forceful. More exuberant, over the top, awesome might be a good adjective. Shave off that beard, and you too can have these powers.
Oh, jeez. That would be dangerous, James. I'm already
I'm okay with that.
Anyways. Yeah, I don't know. It's
All right.
It's interesting. It'll be fun to watch. I don't think it's that big of a deal in the long run.
Firefox OS, prove us wrong.
Yeah, guys, it's your turn.
So let's switch gears here.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about your adventure.
Okay, so I got an iPad. I have an iPhone. And there was a project that I invested in through Kickstarter called the iPulse. I don't know. It's a little Bluetooth gamepad. It's a little key. It's an arrow pad. A couple of buttons. It connects for you via Bluetooth, and you'll be able to play video games with it, which is cool because I like.
That's cool.
Yeah,
you could play on your iPad.
Yeah, on your iPad, it'll connect your iPad, your iPhone.
Your phone.
And what I really am
Bluetooth
looking
capable. All right.
Exactly. What I'm really looking forward to.
Would it work with your PC as well? Assuming
probably,
that it has Bluetooth.
Yes, probably. Hmm. They might. I don't know if it'll have the drivers for it, but one of the cool things about it is because it's like they decided to add software that would also make it what they call a media controller, so that's like volume controls and you know, song skip and stuff. And you can also do like a Find My Keys. You can have an app on your iPhone. You hit it, and your little controller will make noises. So if it's connected to your keys, you can find your keys, which I like. I don't know. There's cool little things there. But one of the features that I was really excited about was a camera remote. you be able to hit a button and it'll take a picture. And the reason why I like this is because for probably the last 10 years, I've wanted to make stop motion videos because, you know, just for fun. And one of the big dilemmas I've always had is that in order to take the pictures, I have to touch the camera, which moves the camera minutely and it drives me nuts because it changes the shot over time and it just looks terrible. So I wanted a little remote and I'm like super cheap and never had like a camera, and I don't know, I finally had the camera and I was really excited to get this device, and as often happens with Kickstarter projects, they're having trouble with tooling, so of course it's taking much longer than they anticipated, but they're working really hard and they're having, you know, great achievements, so here are our developments so far. And I was just like, I was totally bumming on it. So earlier this week I had this brilliant thought. I was like, I wonder if there's an app that would allow me to control my camera from another device, which seems like really obvious when you look at it, like, yeah, of course it would be. So I started Googling around and I found this app called Duplicam. And you just download it and you can turn your iPhone into either a controller, the remote, or to have it be controlled. So you can share the camera. And then they have an iPad app that costs a little bit of money, but I'm not a crazy person like you. I'm willing to spend a dollar here and there on apps.
It's okay.
So I downloaded
this. I'll be retired on a beach sipping pina coladas, and you'll be working, so whatever.
Oh, fair enough.
You'll be like, on my apps, so take that.
But I get to live with my parents for the rest of my life because they won't push me out. So,
and I'll just do this.
I'll feel like I'm at home because I will be at home. Anyways, so I'm looking at this app and I'm playing with it and it's working very well. It's very cool. It allows you to connect over Bluetooth or over Wi-Fi. And to be able to take a camera. So I'm like, wow, I'm going to have to use this. I'll have to try it out. And then all of a sudden I had this, I was like playing with it and they've got a button. It's a camera button and it says all underneath it. And I was like, what is this? Ooh. And so as I looked into it, basically what I realized is it's a camera or it's a button that all the cameras that are connected to the controller, it'll take a picture with them all at the same time. So I was like, that's awesome. I could do like a multi-shot of like one thing all at the same time if I had like multiple cameras. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. And then all of a sudden, boom, brain explodes, brilliant idea. What happens if I only had two cameras? They were side by side looking at the same object. It would be like a stereo picture, be all 3D-ish. So I was like super excited. So I'm feeling stoked because now I'm like, so I grab another iPhone and I download the app on that iPhone and I start taking double pictures. Works really great, Bluetooth, so I could do it in the middle of the forest if I wanted to. And then I take this, I then went on and I started looking for more apps. And I am not the sort of person that just like goes and downloads random apps and tries to find apps. Like I'm actually like really resistant to that sort of thing for some reason. Weirdly enough, I was just so, and because there's just so many garbage ones out there. It's so hard to find it. Well, anyways, I stumbled across this app called 3D Light. It's a free app that on your iPhone, it allows you to take two pictures one after another in order to create a 3D effect. So you like take a picture, move it over, take a picture, and then it'll like put the picture together. And I was like, well, this is kind of lame. Can't I just import two pictures? Yeah. Well, okay. I'm reading around and it turns out that the 3D Studio by the same company allows you to do that on the iPad Mini. Now we're getting a little bit tough though, because the Duplicam app was 99 cents, which is expensive. This one was $3.99. So I'm going to have to pay $4 for this app. So I thought about it long and hard, and after about 15 seconds, I decided to get it. And
yes!
So I download this app, and I immediately start, like, importing stuff in there. And they've got all these, like, cool features where, like, one's like a Twitch where, like, you line up your objects, and it'll switch between them, which makes it, like, your brain kind of sees it as a 3D picture. It's very cool. And without
any examples, I want to see this.
Yes.
I will verbally describe it for people. So it looks like the screen is twitching to make it look like a 3D object. Actually, and you'll have to tell me if you could save it off as like a GIF or something. I know exactly what we'll use for our header for this week.
Check it out.
Or you'll have to tell me if there's... Oh, okay, sorry. You talk so my screen changes.
Check it out. Look at it. It's going. Does it look like it? No? Maybe? Maybe yes? Maybe no?
Okay, I see the... I didn't want to talk. Okay. So I saw the twitching for sure. I don't know if there's a lag, and so I don't see the 3D effect to it, but...
Maybe not. Well, I gotta look. So one of the things that this can do is you can let me look. I know that there is.
And then are there just any like straight up 3D-ish like shots?
What do you mean?
Basically, what I want you to take a picture, 3D landscape it, or you know, take a picture in landscape that's 3D, send it to me, so that when I post this podcast, I can use it.
I will. You can make 3D, and what you can do, like, the red, so this is where the story's gone. So, you can do, like, the red-blue pictures where, like, you know, where like, the old-school red-blue goggles, mm-hmm. you put them on, and it'll automatically make those.
Interesting.
You can also do it like a magic eye where, like, you bring it up to your face and you pull it away, and when you let it focus, you see the actual image, and it's the image of. So they're very cool. They're awesome, man. It's a cool little a couple different, and they look good, sort of. I don't know how the red blue looks, and this is why I'm gonna say, because the red blue requires the red blue
glasses.
Which you would think would be really easy to find in a store or something. You
know, well, everyone switched over to the polarized ones.
Right. Yeah, but still, I mean, like, it's classic, you know?
True.
So I decide I want a pair of these. Well, I look online. It's kind of cool, dude. You can just – there are companies that you can literally you just address it to this company, and in the envelope you put another envelope with your address and paid postage, and when they get your envelope, they'll just throw a pair in there for free and mail it back to you.
Whoa.
Like, they'll for free. They don't cost anything. You just have to pay for this. I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool, but I don't want to wait 3 days. So let's get real. Let's go look around town. So I'm like calling up party stores. I'm like going to like tech stores. I'm like looking online who might have it. Like, I can't find them anywhere at all. It's driving me nuts. They're like, and so I'm like, I probably spent like 3 days looking for a store that might sell these. I went to Toys R Us. I went to toy stores to see if they had like those.
Wow. Yeah. You think they would do it?
No, they use like new fancy polarized light ones too. Like, I don't even get it, man. So I'm kind of annoyed by this whole process, but then I decide, you know what? I'm not going to give up yet. I'm already pushed it past 3 days. I would have the glasses if I just ordered them online by this point. But now I got to wait another 3 days. So I'm still going to go look. So I started going to craft stores, trying to buy red and blue cellophane. Just thinking that would be awesome. Can't find those anywhere. Nobody sells red and blue cellophane.
Oh my God.
Calling up art stores. I'm calling up
theater stores. That's why the glasses don't exist anymore. Gosh.
I know. It's driving me nuts. That's all right. I went to Office Depot, Office Max. I went to Staples looking for red blue transparencies. No, they don't sell colored transparencies. Nobody sells colored transparencies. You can't find these things anywhere. You can't find the material to make them anywhere.
What about a balloon?
It's not an awful idea. Well, but it's got to be transparent enough. The only thing that I saw that where it was actually looked like a good suggestion was they basically said, take a transparency and a red and blue Sharpie, and it works well enough. You know what the thing is? Have you ever tried to buy some transparencies? They come in like 50 sheet packages, and they cost like $50. I'm not going to pay $50 for a bunch of transparencies. This is ridiculous. So finally,
the life of a hacker.
I know. So finally, just swallowing defeat, I went on Amazon, and for $2.60, I ordered this like really nice pair of like plastic red and blue glasses.
So you look at this one picture and go, "Yep, 3D."
They'll be here Thursday. drives me nuts. And this is the thing. And if I had had them by today, I had a plan. I had a plan. Since she doesn't listen to the show, I don't mind sharing it on the show. I was thinking, I was like, this, I'm super excited about this, but now I got, you know, now I've actually invested time and money and I need more than just like, this is just a passing goofy thing. I want to go and actually take 3D pictures. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to call up a girl and I'm going to be like, hey girl, you and I should go take some 3D pictures. Yo. And, you want to come and hang with me? Maybe get some food while we're out and, taking pictures and then, you know, and just make kind of a date out of it. Which I think would be pretty cool. That'd be a pretty cool date idea. But it really, really requires the 3D glasses. And the thing is I got really, really close. This was the worst part. So what's very cool about these is that you can actually export the .mpo, M-O-P thing. It's a file format that is designed for 3D cameras. And what's very cool about it is that file format, it'll work on, or it'll work on anything. So anything with like a 3D screen. So like computers with a 3D screen, cameras that have 3D screens, handheld game systems that have 3D screens. And I'll be honest, I was in Toys R Us swallowing defeat, because Toys R Us was the last place I checked, because to before I went and ordered them. And I was standing in front of the 3DS XL, and they're like $150. I was like, I got $150. And I'm actually sitting here debating with, like, I'm like walking over to the rep to have him open up the stupid box so I can, you know, because they're locked away, so I can buy a 3DS XL so that I can look at these 3D pictures, because it's like, you know, I'm just like thinking super great technology. And then as I was walking over to him, I decided this is ridiculous. I probably should just buy the glasses and just kind of not worry about it for a day or two.
Jeez. Oh, man.
So, drives me, I mean, like, it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, the future's a great time to be alive, but I can't find these stupid glasses anywhere. It's just, but they're on their way, and it cost me $2, so.
That's funny.
$0.50. Shipping is free, too. That's the best part. I was expecting shipping to be like $30.
But, yeah. Funny. That is funny. Well, there's your adventure. That is an adventure.
Yeah.
By any other name, for sure.